It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll talk to a pagan priestess about the pagan and nature spirituality community in Wisconsin.
But first, according to the Federal Reserve, consumer borrowing in the U.S. has reached record levels, currently almost $3.5 trillion. That can show growing consumer confidence, but it also means that a lot of people are carrying a lot of debt.
Joining us to help make sense of the numbers is Chris Farrell. He's a senior economics contributor for Marketplace and economics commentator for Minnesota Public Radio. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So almost $3.5 trillion, if I can paraphrase a quote, a trillion here, a trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. This sounds like a lot to me. Is this like a worrisome amount of personal debt in this country?
Okay, so part of this debt that we're seeing, which is made up, by the way, of student loans, auto loans, and credit cards. And I think we need to break it down in a minute. But if you're taking the overall look, this is why the Federal Reserve seems to have this, it's having its Hamlet moment. You know, do we raise interest rates? Do we not raise interest rates? Do we raise interest rates? This is one of the signs that the Fed is looking at that says, you know, this economy's stronger than we think it is. I mean, look at the consumers are borrowing. And the reason why consumers would be borrowing is because they believe they're going to get higher wages in the future, or they think prices are going to go up in the future. So this is a good sign. You could also look at it another way, which is to say, hey, guess what? People are frustrated. They haven't been getting wage increases. They don't see wage increases happening. They need a new car because the car that they're driving is 11 years old, and they're borrowing in order to buy themselves a new car. So I think part of this divergence that you see in the Federal Reserve, how is it looking at the economy? I think this number perfectly encapsulates their confusion.
Well, to continue on the glass half full, glass half empty side of things, on the optimistic side, one thing here is that part of what people are borrowing for, as I understand it, is to buy stuff, to buy cars, maybe houses, consumer goods. This is, you know, then factories can hire people. It's good for the economy.
It is good for the economy. So if you look at the autos, you know, to a certain, the Fed has signaled its concerns about the auto loans because the terms are very long. But part of it is, you know, people really didn't make big purchases during the downturn, right? I mean, that's what we all sort of, you said, well, you know, I can drive this car for another year. So part of what we're seeing is a little bit of relaxation. The cars are getting very old. It's time to buy a new one. But the Fed is watching that one carefully. What's a little bit disconcerting is the recent big jump in credit card debt. And credit card debt has been fairly muted, and now it seems to be rising fairly quickly. So again, I think that reflects some optimism about the future. That's usually what credit card debt does. But it does also say if that optimism is not borne out, then households are going to end up in a financially riskier picture. The other big part of this consumer debt that they're looking at is student loans. And the growth rate in student loans has really slowed down. There's no doubt that there's a lot of young people graduating from college with too much debt, but the growth rate has slowed. And this is the kind of debt that eventually is going to pay off. It's going to pay off in a career. It's going to pay off in jobs, even if it's not paying off as quickly as the parents and the students would like it to.
But that student loan debt, some people here in Wisconsin and around the country are pointing at that and saying, we've got a lot of people with very substantial debt, and that's keeping them from doing things like buying cars or buying homes, in part because they can't afford it, in part because their credit looks bad because they have so much student loan debt.
Well, the really big issue there is the job market. You know, what are you earning? Because a student loan debt, you can defer your student loan debt. You can go for income-based repayment plans. You know, there's a number of different ways that you can reduce that monthly burden, not the overall burden, but the monthly burden of that student loan debt. I think the bigger issue is that we have an economy where people are not getting wage increases, and that people who are getting jobs are not getting paid that much. And if you look at if you adjust for inflation and you look at young college graduates, you know, over the past decade, they've been losing purchasing power because the real wages have been going down relative to what their peers were earning about a decade ago or 15 years ago. So I think that this is really a wage issue when we're talking about younger people not going out and spending the way that they might have in the past. They're simply not getting the wages and the wage increases that sort of would say, you know, times are good. That's not so hard to pay off. And therefore, I'm going to borrow more. What's happening now, I think, is that because this has been such a slow growth economy, it continues to grow slow, that people are saying, you know, I got to go out there. I got to replace my cars. You know, we just got to do some spending.
Talking to Chris Farrell from Marketplace, looking at record levels of personal debt. Good news, bad news, maybe a little bit of both. Chris, I want to get more into the credit cards you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Credit card debt going up. I could see a few reasons for that. Either A, maybe people are optimistic, as you say, ready a little quicker on the draw with a credit card. Could be bad. They're trying to make ends meet. They can't afford stuff. They're closing the gap with a credit card. Or maybe those credit providers, after being a little tight during the recession, they're willing, more willing to give people credit cards and higher balances. Where does that all fall in?
Well, the wonderful thing is I could answer yes to all three that you managed to say, depending on what part of the economy that we're looking at. First of all, yes, credit is more available. And all this stuff when we had, you know, the changes in the regulations, and you heard that we're never going to lend to people. Well, you know what? They're lending to people. Credit cards are amply available. Credit has been loosened. I think the fundamental force that is driving this is the falling unemployment rate. That the unemployment rate is coming down and the people that have jobs, at least at this point in time, seem to be more confident. So it's a reflection more of employment confidence and consumer confidence. A lot of the concerns that we have about the economy, you know, is what's going on overseas. But when you look here at home, economy continues to grow. Unemployment rate's coming down. And so I think it largely reflects increased confidence, and the banks are much more willing to lend. Because remember, credit card debt is expensive debt. And so therefore, banks love you. I mean, you're in an environment where the cost of money is about zero, and they're lending to you at what? 8, 12, 15%?
Now, let's talk interest rates a little more. At the outset, you mentioned the Federal Reserve trying to decide if they need to bump up interest rates, and people have been watching for this for a while. If they do it, it's probably going to be a small amount, but when we're talking about trillions of dollars in debt, does that make a big change if they do bump it up?
It does make a big change. And the reason why it makes a big change is think about the conversation we're having right now, Rob, which is when are they going to raise the rates? Now they raise the rates. Then what happens is the conversation becomes, well, when are they going to raise rates next? How high are rates going to go? And so I think that the ripple effect of a higher interest rate throughout the economy, and as people then start having the conversation, okay, they finally took that step, then how much higher are they going to go? How quickly are they going to go? That conversation is really going to take off. So if you're just looking at the absolute level of interest rates, the impact is going to be minimal. It's just not going to add up to that much. But you look at the psychological effect and the relative effect of raising that interest rate, I think the impact's going to be a lot bigger on psychology and the way people start having their conversation about how fast and how far will the Fed go. I have to say at this point, though, with inflation stable, I mean, hardly any inflation, and with the unemployment rate still having plenty of room to come down, I still am surprised that the Fed will decide to hike its benchmark interest rate. But you've, I think, hit on the one issue that is going to push the Fed toward raising its benchmark interest rate, the rise in consumer debt, and that the housing market continues to improve.
Now, before the Great Recession and maybe before the Great Depression back in the 1920s, what people discovered afterwards was there was a lot of debt, and it was bad debt. People were over leveraged. They were in debt beyond their means, and that's part of why both of those events were so bad. Is there any sense that, hey, there's a lot of unsustainable debt here? If there's a downturn, a lot of things are going to go wrong quickly.
You know, where the things are going to go wrong quickly are, unfortunately, in the low-income communities where there's a lot of auto loans are going out in the low-income community, financially precarious positions. But when you look at the student loans, which is a lot of ways, particularly with the federal student loans, in order to mitigate those monthly payments, auto loans and credit cards is just simply not big enough. So what really happened before is the household debt. Mm-hmm. The mortgage debt. And that was just such a big factor. And in the collapse in housing prices in the Great Depression was much greater than the collapse in housing prices that we had during the Great Recession. So you really want to look at mortgage debt. And right now, I think mortgage debt is a lot healthier than would lead you to believe that we're going to have another big crash.
Chris, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot.
That's Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for Marketplace and economics commentator at Minnesota Public Radio.